Thanks for joining us on episode 336 of the Inspired Stewardship Podcast.
I'm Bob Lodick from Seed Time, and I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and impact the world by using your time, your talent, and your treasures to live out your calling. Having the ability to grow your money like a seed is key to learning God's way of handling money, and one way to be inspired to do that is to listen to this, the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with my friend Scott Mader. I've read a whole bunch of self-improvement books. I'm very much all about improving myself and investing in myself and spending time to do the right things, because I think that it's important. I absolutely think it's important. But it's challenging because I'm a person who can easily swing too far to the side of trusting in my own ability to develop really good habits.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world.
In today's interview with Bob Lotich about investing in yourself, Bob and I talk with you about how struggle can lead to success. Bob also shares how he took a huge step of faith in his business this last year when he was called to do it by God, and how this paid off for him and why this actually matters for you too. Bob and I also talk about how before he took that step, he laid the groundwork in faith as well, and why you need to do the same. And lots more.
One reason I like to bring you great interviews like the one you're going to hear today is because of the power in learning from others. Another great way to learn from others is through reading books. But if you're like most people today, you find it hard to find the time to sit down and read. And that's why today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to inspiredstewardship.com/audible to sign up, and you can get a 30-day free trial. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and instead of reading, you can listen your way to learn from some of the greatest minds out there. That's inspiredstewardship.com/audible to get your free trial and listen to great books the same way you're listening to this podcast. Bob Lotich is a Christian, a husband, a father, and owner of the blog Seed Time. And now he's a podcaster on the Seed Time Living podcast. Bob has a mission to create a community where believers can learn practical resources on earning more, saving more, and through learning God's ways of handling money, give more so that they can show God's love. Bob has had his own struggles with money and debt and has spent over 20 years learning about money and how God wants us to manage God's money that God blesses us with. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. It's great. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of great information for our listeners, and I'm really looking forward to this. So if you've ever struggled with feeling like you were working hard and just not seeing the payoff for all the hard work, then Bob has a message for you. Bob, would you share a bit about the mission behind Seed Time and how it grew out of your own financial struggles?
I mean, we're going on about 20 years ago now. I was kind of living down in Florida on a little bit of a sabbatical. I was taking a year off of work. And I thought, just like a lot of us do, naively, that I knew a lot about money. Even though I knew nothing about money, I thought I knew a whole bunch about money. And I was a 20-year-old and just was way overconfident in my understanding of it. And through a series of just kind of unfortunate events, I found myself just in a place where I was brought to my knees, more or less, where I all but had to realize that I just was not good at managing money. And just coming to that revelation and just kind of being in a desperate situation financially, I cried out to God and said, all right, I don't know what I don't know, and help me with this money thing. And from doing that, I began digging into a lot of practical resources, a whole bunch of different books. And, you know, at the time there weren't podcasts or not even kind of websites talking about money, but not much. But books and magazines and really any kind of videos, anything I could get my hands on about actually managing my money better. So I was kind of diving into that. But then at the same time, God was taking me through the book of Proverbs. And I was just finding all these scriptures that talked about money and all these things that were still relevant, even thousands of years later. And I was just kind of floored. And that was just kind of what got me kind of started with the whole thing. And as he was taking me through that, I began to kind of have a passion to share some of this. And in 2007, started a blog, just kind of talking about some of these things. And yeah, and that's kind of like, you know, what he's brought me through and some of those revelations he's done or kind of revealed to me. That's kind of what our mission is with the site, where we can help people just get a hold of their finances, ultimately, you know, believing that we're blessed to be a blessing. And so as people can kind of improve their own finances, I mean, and like you mentioned, like what is all honestly actually God's, and as they make improvements in that area, that we can, you know, be generous givers and really have a big impact, you know, on the kingdom as a whole.
Yeah, one of my friends actually told me one time that if you'll read Proverbs, you'll end up with an MBA in finance at the end of it. I think there's a lot of truth to
that's
that.
So good. I like that.
Yeah, it is true. It's timeless advice. You read it and you go, oh yeah, okay, yeah, this makes sense. Bob, and I know you mentioned a sabbatical there as kind of the beginning of this journey, but I know you recently got back from taking a complete year off from your business, a true Sabbath year. Mm-hmm. And can you give some insight into how this Sabbath year gave you a chance to invest in yourself and develop yourself?
Yeah, I mean, this was a big step of faith for me. You know, I've never really been a workaholic, I wouldn't say. I've always worked really hard to maintain some level of balance, but in 2016, I was more out of balance than I've ever been. I was burnt out. I had gotten to a point where I wasn't enjoying writing. I wasn't enjoying the topic that we're talking about right now. Honestly, I was turning down any interviews at that point to talk about what we're talking about, because I was just burnt out and I was tired of it. And that's not a good place to be when you're doing that, you know, when that's your job, you know?
Absolutely.
And anyway, and through that, God just kind of slowly began revealing this idea of taking a year off. And, you know, initially I'm like, I don't know, how's this going to work? How's this possible? Like, how are we going to pay the bills? Are we going to lose a house? Like, you know, all these things that we ask ourselves when God kind of leads us to something that seems beyond us, you know, because it absolutely was beyond me, and he does lead us to things that are beyond us, but they're not beyond him, you know? And that's what happened. We got to watch God do some miraculous things, you know, and it was just a really fun, miraculous journey. And throughout that year, yeah, like the refreshing that came, you know, it's just, it's indescribable, you know? So my wife and I take a month off as a Sabbath month every single year. That's something we began about 6 or 7 years ago. And, you know, and that was really challenging at first, you know, this whole Sabbath thing, it's like there's everybody is on their journey, you know? So some people, it is a huge act of faith to take you know, Saturday or Sunday off as a Sabbath. And for other people, like maybe it's 1 week, and, you know, and for us doing that month, the first time, it was a big step of faith. But once we did it, you know, we become more and more comfortable with this process. And it's always been a really refreshing thing, you know, and honestly, it's like, even if you take a day off, it's just, there's something really special about the Sabbath. There's a reason that God rested after he worked for 6 days, and it wasn't because he was tired. You know what I mean? Like, he knows something, and there's something to this. So anyway, it just was an incredibly refreshing thing. I mean, as anyone could imagine, it's like taking a year off and, you know, to step away from work and to refocus on the most important things and to kind of get a 10,000 foot view of, you know, in my case, the business and where we wanted to go and what we wanted to do and what I wanted my life to look like and, you know, and what kind of family I want to have, and just having time and having the mental space to ask those questions, you know, was just incredibly, yeah, there's just no great way to describe it, because it just was incredibly valuable.
Yeah, I will admit, when you mentioned people along that journey, I'm on the, I struggle with a day
You know, I have to be very deliberate of setting aside. And for me, it's Sunday just because that's kind of the family day anyway, with church and other things that, you know, I have to struggle to keep that time dedicated to refreshing and not let other things creep in because it's just so easy, especially in today's world to just, you know, your phone is right there. Everything's right there. And it's always in our face.
Yeah, there's a book I'll recommend to you that I read last year that was just so incredibly helpful. It's called The Rest of God by Mark Buchanan. You know, and I've seen some decent teaching on the Sabbath, but this like helped me more than anything else just get a pretty accurate picture of what it's supposed to look like.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to read that one because like I said, this is definitely, it's one of those areas where I'm struggling and I know I'm struggling and I know I need help with it, but you told me you took a year off and I'm like, what? How do you do that? You know?
Yeah, I know. But it is like, it starts with just taking one day off and getting used to that. I mean, cause that was a journey for me too. Like, it was the same thing. I was working every day to some extent, not crazy, but just it was always there. And getting to that point, like the first step of faith was taking a week and walking away from business. And I still remember it. And I still remember how nervous I was that my website was going to blow up and I wasn't going to know about it because I wasn't checking email. And, you know, and God just builds on that as we step out in faith in one thing, you know. And so that's how we got to a year, you know. And so not everybody obviously is called to do that, but in our case, that's what, you know, our journey looked like.
Right. Well, and you know, you just talked about it. And I think most of the listeners, if there's listeners out there who run their own business or are small business owners, the initial thought when you hear someone took a year off is, you know, if I left things for a year, I'd come back to just an ungodly mess. Everything would have blown up. Exactly what you were just talking about. So how did this Sabbath year actually affect your business overall? And kind of conversely, how did you set things up on the front end so that you could take a year off and, you know, come back and not be completely out of business when you came back?
Well, so the first part in terms of setting up, and this is where God's smart and why, you know, just the way he does things. But like I was talking about the incremental progress of increasing the Sabbath time we were taking, that helped us set up the systems. You know, so that very first time I took a week off and, this was probably 9 years ago now. And we had just started kind of making our website our primary source of income. And, my wife had a very entry-level jobs. I mean, so it was really important, the income we were getting from the website. That was paying our bills, and that was a big deal. And so stepping away from that from a week was really challenging, but it forced me to begin to create some sort of systems to be able to handle this. And, and some of that is just like finding an assistant who is available a few hours a week to just make sure the website is up, to be able to answer emails or to whatever the issue is, you know, depending on the type of business. And I know it's going to look like very different for every different type of business, but in my world, this is what I needed. And so it began with just that. And that system, those systems that we created to take a week off, we were able to adapt to do a month. And then, I didn't have any idea if that would still carry over to a year. And we had to make adjustments last year in order to be able to handle that. But in general, like just starting to create some of those systems is what ultimately allowed us to be able to take the entire year off. Now, in terms of like how the business did, we definitely saw like a decrease in revenue over the year. But that's one of the nice things about our type of business is there's a passive element to it where, you know, we get search engine traffic from Google that, you know, I'm still getting traffic for articles I've written 10 years ago. So we still have people coming to those articles and so there's a passive nature to it. Now that said, if you don't do anything for that long, it dwindles down and it definitely did. But, for me, you know, it's a success if God sustained us through that and we're still, you know, living under a roof and getting to eat food. So, I was very pleased with how the year went. And in this year, like what we're doing now is more or less, trying to rebuild the foundation a little bit. and see what that looks like. And in this whole Sabbath thing, like the way God led me to this was in Leviticus 25, where he talks about this Sabbath idea. And, mm-hmm. And the whole idea was based around the farmers at the time. And, you know, in taking a year off Sabbath rest for the ground so the ground could rest. And the Israelites at the time were saying, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to eat? And they're asking God this, like, how are we going to eat if we're not planting anything on that seventh year? And God said, well, I'm going to give you abundance on the sixth year to cover you over, cover you through the seventh year and the eighth year as you're replanting. And so essentially I'm in what that eighth year is right now, where we're replanting and you know, and waiting for some of that harvest to come in as we're, mm-hmm. we're kind of moving forward. So,
yeah, that's interesting. And I know Leviticus, of course, uses the agrarian or the farming, you know, metaphor or story, because again, that was relevant at that time. Yeah. But I do think that same sort of idea of, you know, we need to lay fallow sometimes and allow that.
Yeah.
You know, allow the ground, in this case, our mind or body and whatnot, to recover and rebuild so that we can move forward more effectively. I imagine you're going to have, you know, better growth down the road just from that chance to reset. So that's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it says in Leviticus. That's a promise I'm hanging on to. You know, I mean, one of the things God says in there is that, yeah, if you do this, then you're going to have an abundance. And I forgot the specifics, you know, but yeah, that's what I'm hanging on to. And that's what I'm believing for.
Now, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, and I talked earlier about my struggles with the Sabbath, but another area where I can kind of struggle as a business owner and entrepreneur is balancing these ideas of investing myself, developing myself, and then, you know, running the business. And really there, a lot of times it's actually working in the business as opposed to working on the business that I struggle with.
Yep.
So, you know, you've been doing this a while. You know, you've been running your own business for over 10 years. What have you kind of learned about running your own business and investing yourself and balancing these concepts?
What I've learned is that I need the grace of God. Simply put, but elaborate on that. Like it's really funny. Like, and I feel like a lot of this became clear last year throughout the Sabbath thing. And, you know, and as we're coming out of that and this year, just being in some leaner times, like it's just helped me to realize, or see that any of the success that we've had in the business, it wasn't because I was so brilliant. It's just because of God's grace, you know, and I can see it clearer and clearer and clearer. And even beyond that, I can see it in all areas and aspects of my life. And, I struggle with this a little bit because I've read a whole bunch of self-improvement books. I'm very much all about improving myself and mm-hmm. investing in myself, and spending time to do the right things, because I think that it's important. I absolutely think it's important, but it's challenging because I'm a person who can easily swing too far to the side of trusting in my own ability to develop really good habits. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm not putting as much emphasis on God's grace and what he's able to do through my weakness. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, it's been something that I've struggled with just in terms of that, and just had to work through finding that balance. You know, like, and it's really funny because, like, you'll look at, or there are certain years, and I keep track of all this stuff because I'm kind of nerdy like this, but there are certain years where I have read like 50 to 60 business books in a single year. Mm-hmm. And in which, you know, obviously, or maybe it's not obvious, but I'm a huge proponent of education. I think it's incredibly valuable to continue to learn. But then there have been other seasons where I feel like God has called me to just not read. And or not read business books, but to focus on reading more of the Word, or mm-hmm. or to focus on something else, or to just let your brain rest. And so anyway, I'm kind of just spitting out a lot of different thoughts and a lot of the things that I've kind of gone through as I've been thinking about all this. And that's kind of the gist of it.
That's interesting what you mentioned about the reading, because for I think it's the last 3 years. I'd have to pull up. I'm a nerd too, so I track this stuff as well. and I'd have to pull up my tracking sheet to know for sure. But I think it's 3 years. I had the goal of reading 52 nonfiction books in a year. So that, you know, a book a week, basically. And I did that. I, you know, 1 year I read 54, one year I read 52, 1 year I read 56, you know, that kind of thing. But I basically, you know, a book a week or more, of nonfiction. And this last year, this calendar year, which is the same, you know, year that I've kind of been building a lot of my business, what came to me, the same thing you're talking about prayerfully at the beginning of the year was stop, you know, don't read so much. So this year I only had the goal of reading 12 books and I've actually only read like six or five so far this year. And I realized it was because what I was doing was ingesting all of this stuff, consuming it, but I wasn't actually putting it back out and putting it into action and you know, so teaching it to others and doing these sorts of things. And what God wanted me to do this year was focus on the other direction. you know, one of the reasons the podcast started this year, you know, focusing on that other direction, putting it out as opposed to taking it in. Being a river as opposed to a reservoir, you know, of information. So that's interesting.
Well, yeah. And I think, right now, this world that we live in, you know, 21st century with the abundance of information and knowledge that's available to all of us all the time, I think it's so easy to be a consumer of the information. And on top of that, for me at least, I tend towards, like shiny light, you know, shiny object syndrome a little bit, where I have too many ideas, and especially in the case of just reading book after book after book, I have all these ideas, things I can do, and I'm too scattered instead of really being focused on, you know, one thing, and especially in terms of what God's called me to do, like. Yeah, so it's really easy when you're just constantly taking stuff in, and not, like you said, you know, putting out and producing, to just kind of lose your way, I think.
Right. You know, I mean, if you take it as a given, and I know you do and I do, that we're created in God's image, God's a creator. You know, God created. And so part of what we're supposed to do, not only, but part of what we're supposed to do is create, put things out into the world. And that doesn't mean you have to be a writer or a painter or an artist or whatever. There's lots of ways to create, you know, but still, you've got to be a creator at some level.
Yeah.
You can connect with Bob over at seedtime.com. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at seedtime. He's also on Facebook, under facebook.com/seedtimeblog. And of course, you can find him on YouTube also by searching seedtime. Bob, is there anything you'd like to add?
I mean, just one last thought. I would just say, the one thing that God just been revealing to me on a deeper and deeper level, and we're all on our journey with this, but just great things happen when you obey God. And if there's anything, any area where you've just kind of been putting off obeying him, like just obey him. There's a reason for it. And every time we obey him, even though it might be scary, we might not know what's going on, there's something really great on the other side of that for us. And there's, you know, so much fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy and everything else on the other side of that obedience. So a little bit off topic, but I hope that helps someone out there.
I'm sure there's somebody that needed to hear that. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please do us a favor. Go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures, develop your influence, and impact the world.